that we have three Americans in town at the moment, Sid.
Three mafiosi? By heck, Gov. They're going at it mob and it.
Hang on a minute, Sergeant, and don't call me Gov. Two of them are a middle-aged gentleman and his wife from Tucson, who apparently are trying to establish Flaxborough as the birthplace of one of their ancestors who took part in the Boston Tea Party. I wouldn't think a professional hitman would bring his wife along for the trip.
Ah, but the woman could be another hood in drag.
Sid, Constable Brain has been keeping a discreet eye on them, and they don't seem to have deviated from the usual tourist round of harbour, church, guildhall, Anne Boleyn tea rooms, parish registry, museum, and fam trees.
Fam trees?
Miss Tea Time's new business. Tracing people's ancestors.
What's he be up to next, I wonder?
What indeed? And so we are left with this Mr. Tudor of New York. I've got Pook trailing him.
Pook? Oh, Gov.
Pook has to do something, Sid. And please don't call me Gov.
I thought he was community policeman for the new housing estate.
He was, until the community decided they felt safer without him. So I've put him on to following Mr. Tudor. And so far, at any rate, he's managed not to lose him.
This Tudor bloke must be short-sighted and using one of them walking frames, then.
Not at all. Pook describes him as, where is it now? Built like a brick privy with padded shoulders. Mr. Tudor also seems to be on the hunt for ancestors.
Oh?
Pook says he followed him round the town yesterday and saw him call at a house in Church Close, number 5. Our Miss Tea Times, in fact.
The house, though? Not her office?
Yes. So perhaps he's a friend, not a client. I should have asked her this morning. In the meantime, I'd like to get the name and description. I've got a rather fuller one than Pook's, wired to immigration for checking with the people in America, if you wouldn't mind.
Where's he staying?
The Roebuck.
Why can't I follow him?
Because we've gone as far as we can go at the moment. In any case, we're trying to identify the assassin's target as much as the possible assassin, and we're in danger of letting other things slide. Tongues are still wagging about this so-called orgy at Arnie Hatch's last night.
But Miss Tea Time cleared all that up for us, told us what she saw.
But we haven't yet spoken to Hatch, and Flaxborough gossip won't be assuaged until it's known that we have. So first, pop round and see Hatch and get his version of the shenanigans. Then we'll go back to looking for this wheel and his would-be killer. Don't forget, we reckoned Hatch himself might qualify as a wheel in the gangster sense.
Aye.
While you're there, see if he's received any threats.
I say, you, Mr. Hatch, big man.
Aye, what is it, Joxie?
There's a real weird place of birds out in the hall asking for you. I don't like the look of him one smudging. I can knock him in my chops and chuck him in if you like.
All right, well, I think we'd best find out who they are first.
Oh, they seem like yanks to me. Oh, I hate yanks.
Oh, why? Show them in right away. I'm expecting them.
Well, you're the friggin' boss, Jimmy. I suppose you know best.
Edmund!
Mr. Hatch?
The consultants are here, from McIntosh and Brooke.
Oh, good.
Now then, I know you think that they're a waste of time and money, but we've got to give them a chance to show what they can do. Now, look, as they're Americans, we'll be polite. And I'll thank you to give them all the cooperation they need until we size them up.
Of course I will, Mr. Hatch.
Mr. Hatch?
Ah.
Mr. Hatch, sir. We're from McIntosh Brook. I'm Julian.
And I'm Bernard.
Oh, I do. Right, now, I've not decided yet, mind, about calling your people in. I just want to know something about it, what you have to offer, that's all.
That's tremendous.
Truly fantastic.
Julian likes the block in the broad-based areas, but let's press a random key here, shall we? It's a big one, and it could be a stiff one, and the name on it is Personnel. Am I right in suggesting that it rings up some hefty problem situations, Mr. Hatch?
Staffing's difficult, certainly. Why? Do you have any suggestions?
If we were to tell Mr. Hatch that we have no answers to that one at this present point in time, he would say, and God, I would be the last to blame him, that we are pretty slow to climb aboard. But,
You get Bernard's point. What he's saying is that the input process at this stage of the game is a matter of capabilities. We should take all of this right out of your concern area.
You leave us to worry about exerting leverage impact on the personnel situation, Mr. Hatch. It's what we come up with after what we call a targeted dig that we'll call for your personalized in-slotting.
After all, you don't keep a dog and retain your own bark function.
Now, there's one thing that I want everybody to get straight. I'm not interested in unloading my responsibility. I like running things. But I don't fool myself that I know it all. Now, your firm's supposed to be it with a capital I when it comes to this sort of thing. Right, then. I'll give you a week to have a good look into what I've built up here in Flax. And if you can come back to me at the end of that week and prove to my satisfaction that there's a lot more miles to the gallon than I've been able to get, right, it's then we'll start talking checkbook. Eddie, that's Mr. Amos here.
Mr. Amos.
Ed.
Mr. Amos.
He's my personal private secretary. Now, he'll fix you up with whatever you want. Books, accounts, contracts, stock records, just ask him. Now, I shall be pretty tied up this next couple of days. I'm a member of the yacht club, you know, on the committee. Well, it's the Commodore's muster, big procession, day after tomorrow. And I've got to make some arrangements. So, I'll leave Mr. Amos to show you over.
Right. If you'll just come this way, gentlemen, I'll conduct you round the estate.
Boo! Hiya, Luce.
Oh, Mr. Tudor.
Joe.
What are you doing hiding behind a tree?
I was on my way. Then I see you coming. I got you these blooms, Luce.
Oh, very sweet. So, flamboyant. Tell me, have you had any success in locating your... what was it, wheel?
That is just one big blank debate, Luce. My brother in Miami Beach is no further word, and I do not see anybody in this town who ain't just another limey bum.
And so you want my help?
No, I am not one to lean on a dame. Do I not know you'll bell me if anything shows? No, I am just dropping by to see you. Hey, shall we sit here in the al fresco?
Well, what shall we talk about? Uncle McNamara still making a name for himself in the merchant banking world. We have time only for a few fleeting pleasantries over the telephone. Had I not known him so well, I would have said that he was more than a little intoxicated and being tickled.
He's doing great. I tell you something, Lucy, he has no problems, that Mac. Everything legitimate.
Everything?
Sure, no shakedowns, no whorehouses. Well, not really. No muscle. This guy's act sensible. Just real estate and stocks. Jeez, that office, Luce, looks like a church. I tell you, a church.
Ah, yes. A man of parts, Uncle McNamara. Mostly private.
Me? I am in a similar way now. Legit. I also am a merchant banker. I do not say I wear a suit with that air like Max got, but then I ain't English. I ain't got Max class. Nor yours, Luce. He got real class. As well as nice legs.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. These days I got respect, I got honor, I got this big mansion in a very select area. What I don't have no more is a Mrs. Tudor.
Oh, dear.
You and me, Luce. Think we hit it off, huh? Think we make a pair, huh?
What are you leading up to, Mr. Tudor?
Supper. Tonight.
No, that I can't, I'm afraid.
Tomorrow?
In fact, my dance card is rather full just at the moment.
Oh, too bad. A dame your class got plenty of dates, I guess.
Not in the sense you mean, but my business sense.
Okay, then. I ain't one to crowd you loose. I'll take a rain check.
Yes. In the meantime, you should see the sights.
Sights? Ain't nothing to see here but old buildings and churches and docks and
yes,
things.
But those are the sights. You could go to one of the medieval banquets at the Floridora Country Club. They're very popular with visiting Americans.
The club, huh? Hey, say, they got gambling?
Oh, indeed they have. Are you a betting man?
Hell no. But I take an interest on behalf of my family, you understand. Gambling joints are some of our best, contributors.
As a matter of fact, there is to be a banquet on Wednesday next, and I could sell you a ticket. I act as an agency, you see.
Gee, a banquet and a gambling joint. Might be interesting at that.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Sergeant...
Love, sir.
Sergeant Love. I expect you have to put up with a great many jokes about that.
I don't often put up with them, sir.
Ah, I stand warned. Mr. Hatch will be along directly.
The young ladies seem very jolly.
Oh, yes. Getting changed, you know, into their flower costumes for the evening.
Flowers, eh?
Oh, yes. Each girl is named after a flower and has an appropriate costume. Buttercup, magnolia...
Oh, can't wait to see Thistledown, eh?
Quite so.
I mean, they're very attractive. Fetching-like.
Oh, yes, they're a charming crowd of girls.
I'll see.
And always happy. Mr. Hatch is very good to his staff. Very popular. Always runs a happy ship.
Will you shut up, those scripting girls, Mads, or I'll kick them back to our labour exchange!
Ah, Mr. Hatch, Sergeant Love.
Well, what is it? I'm a busy man.
I'm afraid that we've received a complaint, sir, regarding your domestic premises. Your house.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, officer. What sort of a complaint?
A member of the public, a lady, sir, has complained of certain behaviour which she alleges was being committed on your first floor, the bedroom, that is, last night. She considers it to have been indecent, as a matter of fact, and I wondered if you'd care to make some sort of observation, sir.
Well, whoever this lady is, she's either pulling your leg, or else she's one of those unfortunate souls who get delusions about sex.
Sex? Really, sir, I don't think I said anything about sex.
You said indecent. Is there some other sort of indecency, then, that I don't know about? An unsexy kind?
No, perhaps there isn't. But the lady isn't one to have delusions. I can vouch for her being very responsible and level-headed.
Well, in that case, it's clear she must have made a mistake.
There have been other reports, sir.
Reports of what? Look here, Sergeant. How can I answer your questions if I don't know what you're talking about? Who's supposed to have done what and with who?
The complaint, sir, the one I came about, was the effect that unclothed persons were exposing themselves at one of the upstairs windows of your house. The complainant spoke of two males and two females.
Rubbish!
You mean there couldn't possibly have been any truth in the story, sir?
Well, that's exactly what I mean.
And the other reports? They were all wrong as well, were they, sir?
Well, obviously.
Forgive me for butting in, Mr. Hatch, but didn't I hear you say earlier that Mr. and Mrs. Baxter were staying in your master bedroom last night?
Ah, yeah, oh, of course. Oh, thank you, Edmund. Yeah, well, I think we've solved your little mystery for you, Sergeant. And Mr. Baxter did mention, now I think of it, that he and his wife had a slightly embarrassing moment during the night.
Who's Mr. Baxter, sir?
Managing director of Sucro Whip, Sergeant. The Big Biscuit people. They stayed overnight in the master bedroom.
And what was this embarrassing moment?
Well, it seems they got up in the night, too hot, didn't know about the air conditioning, opened the curtains and tried to open the window, accidentally switched the light on.
But why should that... I mean, an orgy?
Well, I believe that Mr. and Mrs. Baxter, thoroughly respectable couple, I assure you, they're a bit unconventional in some ways.
Like sleeping in the all together?
Well, how people go on when they're married, Sergeant, is their own business. I hope we've not reached the stage in this great country of ours when it's a crime not to wear pyjamas.
Well,
I'll show you out, Sergeant.
Well, no, it's all right, Mr. Amos. I'll find my own way. Oh, one last thing, though, Mr. Hatch. Nothing to do with the previous business. You haven't received any threats, have you?
Threats? What sort of question's that? Who'd want to threaten me?
Yeah, quite so, sir. Right, I'll be on my way, then.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Bloody police on it now! And what the missus is going to say when the neighbours start... Right, Edmund. We know who got me into this mess, don't we? In with the headlamps, has opened them curtains.
Councillor Crispin.
Aye, Councillor Harry Crispin. Commodore of the Yacht Club. Right, well, it's the Commodore's muster day after tomorrow, you know. When we all process upriver to Pennock Mill behind Commodore Flaming Harry Crispin.
Yes, you told me, Mr. Hatch.
Aye. And I'll not say much, but I will say this. I mean to see that he knows who's behind him. Him and his lively lady.
Ahoy, members! Ahoy! Will all vessels taking part in the 1974 Commodore's Muster of the Flaxburn District Yacht Club please form up behind lively lady? Please form line astern of the Commodore's boat.
Boat? It's a flaming yacht! Where was he brung up, boat?
Oh, it's all right, Harry.
I'll have words later. There's not a rig on the river to match lively lady, eh? Money well spent, gal. If you've got it, flaunt it. That's what I always say. Aye. We've got class now, gal. Dignity. Ahoy there, Joey boy. Tell your missus to get a quart that line, else you'll gut it over anchor. Aye. But you look a treat, though, lass, in them bell bottoms.
Dead tough! Mr. Scope's coming abaft our beam, or whatever you call it.
Aye, and here comes Arnie Hatch. Look at him.
face set in that supercilious expression, and he's had that boat for 5 years to my certain knowledge.
Aye, and her too. I mean, what's she wearing?
Well then, Harry, me old mucker.
Ah, well then, Annie.
Yeah, nice bit of a boat you've got there.
Most folk call it a yacht, with a lounge below as a grace of mansion. Cuckoo clock and all, as well as accommodation for six, and a galley like the kitchen at the Ritz.
Aye, well, a lively lady, eh?
I expect you have to be pretty lively below decks, Mrs. Spain.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Steady, gal.
I just meant it must take some keeping clean.
How lively is she, then?
Now, look here.
Oh, I meant the boat, Mrs. Spain, the boat.
The yacht. Yeah, well, she's pretty brisk, you know, pretty brisk.
Mind, I doubt you've not got the power under your hatch covers that my daffodils got. Not the horses.
How many have you got, then?
Well, how many have you got?
I asked first.
Aye, well. There's 8 horsepower in this engine. Cage beast it is.
Well, that's an appeal to you, I suppose. We opted for style and class rather than brute strength.
Will all vessels please line up behind the Commodore? All vessels line up astern of the Commodore, please. Ready for the off?
Here we go, then. Sit well up, gal. Let them all see you. Wave to the poor folks on the bank.
There's not as many fishermen out as usual.
They know better on muster day, gal. And wait till lively lady gets underway and making a wash. That'll set the floats a bobbing.
That pair of fishermen us mates, if you ask me. I say,
Jock's it.
You what?
I feel a reek burnt stood here in these big wellies.
Aye. You look it and all.
Just hope nobody's looking, that's all. He stood with me fishing rod one side, you up t'other. We will look like a pair of flipping gnomes out the side of a flipping pond.
Will you shut up your moaning and look like you're trying to catch something? You're being well paid for it.
This beam's heavy.
Aye, it'll do nicely. Fair crop of rusty old bolts and such like in it and all.
I always thought wood floated.
Not when it's way rotted through and soggy through the water.
Can't we let it rest on bottom for a bit?
We've to keep it just below the surface till it's needed. Now just make sure you didn't make a mullocks up when them boats come by.
Pull up me line and hang on. That's it, isn't it, Jocksy?
Oh, give me friggin' strength. Slack as a plank. Do you want to skipper the entire fleet, Mr. Hatch and all?
Oh.
Ah, from the top, then. We stand here looking like we're fishing, right?
Aye.
So try to look like a flaming fisherman rather than a nightclub boots and we have been pulled.
Well, what's a fisherman look like, then?
I don't friggin' know, do I? But I reckon they'd look at the water. Interested, like. Now, don't be staring about all the time and yelling after passing girlies to come and take a shift at your tackle. Now, when you see them boats coming up the river...
Oh, I know it's the right boat.
Cause there'll be a flaming procession of flaming things loaded with toffee-nosed gits. And the one we're after will be coming up front with a fair head of steam. Any case, I'll give you the nod. Then you haul up your line same time as me, and as soon as you hear the crunch, cut the string and let it go.
I say, Harry.
Ahoy there, gal.
I'm sure Arnie Hatch's boat's closer than it was. The others seem to be falling well behind.
You what? Why? Cheeky beggar. Thinks he can nudge us along, does he? I'll show the bastard. That should remind him to keep his place well astern of the Commodore's vessel.
Yes, yes, that's leaving him behind. Oh, I must say, it's a beautiful day. Hey, no, look, he's coming up again. I can see her face clear as anything, too. Looks all scornful and triumphant.
Aye, heck, his prow's coming up. Right.
Careful, do be careful.
Who can play at that game? Hang on!
He's still coming.
Where's he now? Got to keep me on the river at this speed.
Oh dear, he's catching up again. I'm sure he's doing it deliberately. He's reared right up out of the water like one of them racing boats.
Of course he's doing it deliberately. Right. Let's see what this beauty can do then. That's full out. That should show him.
You're drowning folks on the bank, Harry. The wave you're making's going right over them.
Can't help that girl. Can't let that beggar show the Commodore how to...
He's caught up again. He's right behind us. She's looking scared now.
Aye, she would. No spunk.
Well, I'm scared, Harry. Slow down.
Slow down, be buggered.
It's not worth it, Harry. It's dangerous. He's only trying to provoke you. You don't have to take any notice.
Balls.
No, I'm serious, Harry. Please. You, please, for me.
You pipe down, girl. I'm not giving way to that poopy git. It better bloody get used to the idea.
He's coming alongside. He's trying to get neck and neck with us. He's squeezing between us and the bank. He's done it, Harry. He's there.
By Echias and all.
Tell your husband to slow down. Tell your counselor to slow down. Come on, put him a life jacket on, Harry. Anything might happen going at this speed.
Don't you fret, gal. I could turn this beauty on a fitney, fitney, knee derisers.
Oh, dear.
Here they come.
Why, they're going some crack and all. There's two of them together. Which one's which?
The one my size, the one we're after. The other slow down sudden at 50 yards. Even so, you've got to cut loose as soon as you hear the crunch. Get ready.
Harry, no, please. Slow down.
Hang on tight, gal. I'm just getting the spirit of this. Hey, oh. Where's he gone?
He's slowing down. Stopping back. I think he's stopped his engine.
That's it. His eight flaming horses have blown up on him. No more good than his flaming race horses. That'll show him, gal. Hey, I wish we could do a victory roll in this beautiful grey yacht of ours. We've won. We've beat.
We're drowned! Help! Help! We're drowning!
Don't talk, Daft Gal. It's no more than 4 foot deep. Here, climb up on the roof here.
Oh! Oh, no! I'm all wet. Oh, dear. I'm soaked. Oh, no, my hair!
Calm down, Gal. We're both in one piece.
Oh, well, I hope you're satisfied, that's all. I just hope you're satisfied with what you've done.
What I've done? Good God, woman, are you so bloody thick that you can't see what's happened?
Oh, no. The cuckoo clock. Look, the cuckoo clock. It's floating away.
I'll get it. I'll get it. Missed it. I'll kill that bastard.
Oh, all gone. All under the water. My lovely boat. Oh, my lovely china. Cooked glass and crockery and lace tablecloths and sheets and duvets and everything gone and ruined.
I will. I'll kill that sod if it's the last thing I do.
What's that sod?
Did you honestly think that was an accident? Did you?
You were going too fast, I told you. I asked you to stop and now see what's happened.
Oh, shut up, woman. I'll get another bloody boat. But how are we going to get off this one?
Oh, I never want to see this river again. Hey, look. Look, they're all catching up.
Ahoy there, Commodore. This little bit small to give you a tow. Not even room to take you aboard.
Nothing to get worried about. Just you carry on, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your day out. But don't worry about the shipwreck mariners. Just carry on.
Just look at the boat. Sailing past. Staring at us. Sniggering. I've never been so humiliated. The whole yacht club sailing past and sniggering at us. And I'm sitting here marooned.
Aye. That bastard's going to pay for this. I'll kill him. Let's get off out of this.
How can we get off? Harry, you're not to do anything stupid.
Hell, what's stupid about getting off a sunken ship, for God's sake?
Don't pretend you don't know what I mean. I don't like talk about killing, not even in fun. Now, promise me you'll not do anything you'll be sorry for.
Luke, I don't know how he did it yet, but that bastard set this up for us. It stands out a mile. He's got 8 horses in that overblown engine of his, enough to leave us standing. But he's stuck right out there, alongside. Why? Because he wanted us to be going all out on that particular course, close in. He was crowding us, the sod. And why? Because he knew what was waiting. He'd fixed it. I tell you, he'd fixed it.
Harry, you don't know that.
Like hell I don't.
Very well, then. You must tell the police and leave it to them.
Hey, up, look. He's started up again. He's rejoined the procession. He's cruising towards us. Barefaced bastard, I'll give him that. Cruising towards us, cool as you please.
Ahoy there!
Oh, dear! It's dreadful! Are you all right?
I reckon you've taken some water in there, skipper.
No, Harry, don't.
Aye, I reckon we have at that, me old mate.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, how dreadful.
Don't, Harry.
You're a bit low for towing, I reckon.
We're right on the sodding bottom, mate. That's about the strength of it.
Well, we'd best take you aboard. Chuck him a rope, Sophie.
That's very decent of you, Arnie. I'll not forget this.
Least we can do, skipper.
Aye, you can bank on it, mate. I'll not forget.
You'll not, will you, Harry? Promise me you'll not.
Don't you fret. When I strike, he'll not know what's hitting. But there'll be no blood on my hands. Nobody to point the finger at Harry Crispin. I've got friends, though. Got muscle behind me. Specialists. There's more than one way of skinning a bleeding cat.
And tomorrow, we'll find out how Harry Crispin plans to skin this particular cat, as it were. There's sinister work afoot in part 4 of The Naked Nuns. But in today's episode, you heard John Rowe, Paul Downing, Robin Polley, Harry Kirkham, Michael Duggan, Daniel Cole, Joseph Alessi, David Fleischman, Anne Rye, Finetime Fontaine, Judith Davis, and Patricia Wilcock. It was written by Colin Watson and dramatised by Christopher Dennis.